We listen to the word of God found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others, and it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. The word of God for the people of God. You know, we are familiar with the story. You know, that's why we're here. Even if you're a person who doesn't believe, you tend to be familiar with the story. Many who don't have any faith at all, they can tell you the basics of what Christmas is all about and what Easter is all about. You know, on this day, we proclaim, "He is risen." Oh, you're better than first service. They didn't pick. You know, I find it a little bit humorous myself in how Jesus chose to reveal himself to those who were his followers after that. Now think about it, you know, if it was us, you know, our first response would be, "Hey, it's me, I'm here, I'm okay." You know, but Jesus didn't do that. You know, he was, one person called him, he comes incognito, he was the covert Christ. You know, he doesn't just suddenly reveal himself as something. Last fall, when the youth were having their Halloween costume party, karaoke, you know, I came, after it got started, I dressed up and I have this whole head mask that's like an old man, and put on some old clothes and bibbed overalls and came in with a cane. And Anne decided she'd come with me, so she has this, we have this whole head cow costume, which we got so the kids could get discounts at Chick-fil-A, actually. But she decided to come with me, and so Brett was the only one that knew that we might show up, and so we came in, you know, hobbling along, and she's kind of tailing behind me and stood there a while and then moved on back. And a good thing is the youth leaders are fairly attentive, and they came over and they said, you know, "Who are you? We need to know." And I just look at them, wouldn't say anything. Ann wouldn't say anything. It's, "Come on, you need to tell us who you are so we know," you know. When I just got, you know. And, you know, they started to get a little bit intense. "If you don't tell us who you are, you're going to have to leave." You know, which is a good thing for our youth that they're attentive that way. Finally, you know, they got all upset, and so they called Brett. "Brett, you got to come over here." And Brett comes over, and he's looking at me, and he's looking at them, and they're like, "They won't tell us who they are." And he said, I don't know what to do. And then he finally said, "It's Pastor John, but I have no idea who that other one is." So you know, we were there. We were, you know, kind of, we came incognito, and then we just kind of slipped out the back door. I don't know if any of the youth ever wondered who that was that came in and then who left, but that was our purpose. You know, but Jesus, he comes as the covert Christ also after his resurrection. And you think about it, you know, they weren't really expecting to find him resurrected. They had seen him arrested and tortured and crucified and dying, and they knew where he was buried, and they weren't expecting to encounter him. But Jesus plays with them for a little bit, you know. He doesn't just say, "Hey, it's me, I'm okay, it's fine, look at me." You know, he comes as the covert Christ. Mary, it tells us, as you read in some of the other passages, Mary is standing at the tomb, and she's crying, which isn't really unusual for people, you know, shortly after a funeral to stand by the tomb and crying. And he appears to her as the covert Christ. She doesn't recognize him. Mostly, she probably doesn't expect him to be alive, but she doesn't really recognize him. She thinks he's the gardener. And Jesus doesn't say, "Hey, Mary, it's me." Instead, he starts with a question that he already knows the answer to. And he says, "Why are you crying?" That's probably a normal thing to do, to find people crying around a tomb. But he doesn't identify himself. Just, "Why are you crying?" She starts, "Well, because, you know, the tomb's empty and they took the body and I don't know where he is," or whatever. And then Jesus reveals himself to her simply by calling her name. And he says, "Mary." And then her eyes recognize who it is. Question for you. When Jesus calls your name, will you recognize him? And the way in which he calls to you, will you recognize him when he speaks your name? He comes to each one of us, you know, many times as the covert Christ, incognito, disguised in one way or another. And we aren't really recognizing him, but are you listening when he speaks your name to your heart? Now, that's one of the things that Jesus seems to do when he appears to some of the disciples. He starts with a question that he obviously already knows the answer to. And he appears at different times. He appears later that day to the 11. You know, you got to imagine, they're holed up. They've locked themselves probably in the upper room. They've sealed the doors. They're worried that they also might be arrested because, you know, they've been recognized as being followers of Jesus. And, you know, Peter, he was somewhat outed when they questioned him at Jesus' trial, and he denied Christ three times. John was there with Jesus' mother standing at the cross, and they'd seen what they had done to Jesus and how he'd been put to death, and they might be worried that, "Oh, we need to also arrest these and get rid of them and put them in prison or get rid of them." John the Baptist, that had happened to him. So they're holed up and they're in fear. And then they're still believing the body of Christ has been stolen. They don't understand. And then Jesus, in a playful way, walks through the wall. They're locked in there, and then he just kind of comes through the wall. And I asked the first service, it's, you know, Lydia, what would you do if you were sitting there and somebody came through that wall? Go to the restroom? Is that? probably punch them, yeah. You know, and can you imagine, like, if we were all fearful for our lives, locked in a room, and then instead of a knock on the door and coming through, he just kind of appears and comes through the wall. And Luke says, they were startled and frightened. I personally think that is an understatement. You know, I can imagine, you know, some of you jump when somebody's just standing there beside you, and you turn, you see him, and you scream. What? I can imagine there's all, you know, what? And Jesus then asks a question. Why are you troubled? Now, if somebody comes through the wall like that, because you came through the wall. You know, why do you doubt? And then right after that playful question, what would you expect them to say? It's me, it's okay. Instead, he says, you got anything to eat? Yeah, comes through the wall. Why are you startled? What, you know, what? Why? Hey, you got any food? You know, I haven't eaten since Friday. And then all I got was just a suck on a sponge with vinegar, you know. And they provide food, which is also an important fact, because that then reveals to them that this is not a ghost. This is a person, a living person that will sit and take nourishment with you. And during that time, he explains everything written in Moses and the prophets and the Psalms to them about why he had to die and how he had to rise. You know, he comes as the covert Christ so many times. Another time, seven of the disciples, they decide they're going fishing. And so, you know, they're down fishing. They're not having any luck. And then Jesus appears to them on the beach. They don't recognize that it's Jesus. And again, he asks them a question he already knows the answer to. Hey, have you caught any fish? No, it's been a bad night. Cast your net on the other side. And immediately the net's full. And Peter right away says, you know, I remember one time before. That's Jesus. And he jumps in the water and swims to meet Jesus while they bring the rest of the boat and the fish in. You know, Jesus comes so many times in a covert way. The covert Christ that so many times we miss him. I think many of you know last fall it was something I had wanted to do, and that Ann gave it to me as a gift, and we went up to Vermont and we participated in the Vermont inn-to-inn walking tour. And you know, in 4 days you arrive at an inn and you spend the night and you get up in the morning, have breakfast, and then you walk to another inn, which on average is about 10 miles to each inn. There's four inns till you get back to where you started. And so you're hiking through the Green Mountains, and while you're hiking, they drive your clothes and everything around. But, you know, one of the things we discovered during that time is you have a lot of time, you're kind of walking back roads, and you have a chance to really talk and spend time together while you're walking. You know, that was one of the things we thought, you know, as we were walking, Jesus and his disciples, they walked to all these different villages, all the time that Jesus would have had walking with his disciples to talk to them and explain to them and share things with them as they hiked and they walked along. You know, there was times that, you know, there was eight of us that were staying at the inn that we were at that would travel. And on average, in 4 days, we did about 45 miles. So one day it was about 7 or 8 miles, another day it was like 13, but on average about 10 to 11 miles a day. And sometimes you'd start together, but a lot of times we all would get started at different times. We all walked a different pace, you know, so you'd hear some people that were, you know, that were coming behind you, they'd pass you and go on up, but you could hear them talking, or you'd catch up with them and you could hear them walking. And there was one day where there was a lookout where you could get up and see. It was a little side trail off, and you went up to see that. And there was this two ladies, they were younger than all the other six of us, and they always seemed to walk at a fast pace. And, you know, we heard them coming from way back, and it was like, we're not going to let them pass us and get to that point before we do. So there was us, and then there was another couple that we'd caught up with. We're all hiking hard because we could hear them chattering and talking. And so we're going to get there first. And so we get there first about 50 yards ahead. They had been about a half mile back when we heard them talking and coming, but we did get there first. But you know, you can hear the conversation. Well, Jesus appears to two that are walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, a little about between seven and eight miles, about equivalent, more or less, like walking from Brush Creek into Zillionople. And he could have heard their conversation. He probably was walking a little bit faster pace than them because they're having a discussion. And he comes up and he simply says, hey, what are you guys talking about? Now, as a stranger, they're like, are you the only one in Jerusalem that doesn't understand? And here he is with them as the covert Christ, incognito. They don't recognize him. And they said, you know, just this last few days, there was this guy named Jesus who we thought he was the one, we were sure he was the Messiah, but then, you know, they killed him and they buried him. And then some ladies went to the tomb today and say that he was stolen away from the tomb. And, you know, the whole town's in an uproar. Jesus knew the answer to the question, what you're talking about. It says, then he says, don't you understand that the scripture, the Old Testament, that this is what it was always talking about? It says he began with Moses and then all the prophets and started revealing all the stories that revealed who he was. You know, and by the way, there's plenty in the Old Testament to share and witness about Jesus Christ. We're New Testament people, but there's plenty in the Old Testament that you can use. Last year, we had Abraham Sandler come, and as a Messianic Jewish person that led our Passover Seder on Monday, Thursday last year, if you remember, and his father, who was a devout Jewish person, when he was a teenager in high school on a basketball team, one of the requirements to play on the team was that you had to attend this Bible study that the coach would lead. Well, he got fed up with that because he was Jewish, and he said, "I'm done, I'm not coming back anymore." So he figured he was off the team, but the whole team, and they kept encouraging him and invited him to come. So he came back, and the coach said, "Tell me, who do you think this is referring to?" And he read to him from Isaiah 53. You know, "He was bruised for our iniquities, and by his stripes we were healed." And Abraham's father said, "Well, that sounds like Jesus, but I don't believe in the New Testament." And they said, "No, it's in the Old Testament." Well, his first thought was, they have a fake Bible. So he went and got a Bible himself and found out that passage is in Isaiah, and that it does sound everything like Jesus, and he became a Christian. And now he and his son both are pastors of Messianic congregations and spreading the ministry across the world. The Old Testament carries enough emphasis of who Jesus is. So Jesus took that and shared that with those two on the road to Emmaus. It's about a 2 to 3 hour walk that they probably had. They stopped for dinner, but Jesus, the covert Christ hidden from them, seems like he's going to go on. They're like, no, we want to hear more. Stay and have dinner with us. So when they sit down, Jesus takes the bread and he breaks it. And as he blesses it and gives thanks to the Heavenly Father, like he's done many, many times, they recognize who he is. And then he disappeared from their midst. And they respond, they said, "Didn't our hearts burn within us when he talked to us?" Now the Greek word here is kaio, and that doesn't mean a warm fuzzy. That means set on fire, ablaze. You know, they're not talking about my heart's just feeling very warm and it was very comforting. They're saying our hearts were being consumed with what he was telling us. You know, Jesus opened the scripture and set them on fire. Something that was so compelling. And even though it's late in the day, it's probably 6, 7 o'clock, sometime, they took off on another 2 to 3 hour journey back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples, "We've seen the Lord, he's risen." And they said, "Oh boy, you guys just turned into first service all over again, you know?" They came back and they said, "He's risen. Because we have seen him also." He walked through the wall on us, but you know, he walked the road with you, but he walked through the wall with us. You know, Christ reveals himself, but so many times he comes as the covert Christ. You may not even be aware at the time that he's the one that's present with you. But are you listening for him to call your name? Are you listening for him to call your name? As a young person, teenager, young child, I was guilty of it. As a husband, I'm guilty of it. My mother, my wife would say something to me, and you know what? I'm watching TV. I don't know what to do. I missed it all. They might have to say it to me 2 or 3 times. It's like, "Oh, what?" Because I'm distracted by what's around me. You know, do you have your ear attuned to hear Christ speak your name? Do you have your ear attuned to hear God explaining to you everything there is about Jesus? Are you missing it? Are you missing it because you're just not paying attention? You need to be paying attention to what might be going on in your heart when it starts to catch fire. You know, there's some people who are seeking answers and searching, and there's so much about that in our culture and in our news today, and they're searching in all the wrong places. They're standing before tombs that are sealed, and there's nothing but death on the other side. But the covert Christ, he's outside the tomb. He's walking with us. He's calling us by name. He's expressing and revealing through Scripture everything about himself. So pay attention to the burn that Jesus can create in you. You know, if you're still struggling and searching, ask yourself, you know, am I at the wrong tomb? Is there just nothing but death in this? Let him be revealed to you in Scripture. Not your opinion of what you think the Scripture should be, but let the Scripture speak, let God's voice speak, because Jesus is the living Word that lives out the written Word of God. He reveals himself in many different ways. He's often covert, incognito. And he may approach you first with a question that he already knows the answer to. But let him explain to you why you don't need to be troubled and afraid. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you come to us, and many times, Lord, you come hidden so that we're not distracted, for one thing, by your presence, but that we might hear your voice speak to us. Lord, may we seek you. May we long for you. May you use us as you reveal yourself in this world. Amen. Will you turn with me to our closing hymn, He Lives, number 310. Yesterday, as I was mowing the grass for the first time this year, I was listening to the one thing, and the pastor that I was listening to stated that the resurrection is the only thing that sets Jesus apart from the rest of us. You know, we can talk about the virgin birth and, you know, he's conceived by the Heavenly Father, but still, you know, we can't prove that. But he was born, but we're born. We've all gone through a birth. And Jesus lived and walked, and we live and walk, and Jesus died, and we die. But Jesus, what sets him apart is the resurrection. You know, he's the only one that He called others out. God has called others out from resurrection from the tomb, but Jesus is the only one that resurrected on his own. That's what sets him apart, and it's because the resurrection, which has so much historical evidence to prove it, speaks to the truth of the virgin birth as well. You know, all of us were born, we live, we die. Jesus was born, he lived, he died, but Jesus conquered death. So may you go forth in the power of the risen Christ, the one who's set apart from the rest of us, that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Go forth in his glory and his grace. In Jesus' name, amen.